And then Pastor Vince has shared with us this morning, just a moment ago, on the life of Abraham and that encounter he had with Melchizedek, the high priest. And that's the theme of my message this morning. We could continue with the teaching I started 2 weeks ago on Jesus, the high priest of our confession. And our text scripture that we were looking at and we began to look at a couple of weeks ago was Hebrews 3, verse 1. And it says this: "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." And 2 weeks ago, you may recall, if you were with us, if you weren't with us, if you see me afterwards, I can give you a link and you can get the messages they recorded and their videos. And I've uploaded them to my website so you can go back and catch up with them. So last time we were looking at the great high priest of our confession. And we've seen that the priesthood of Jesus is like no other priesthood. It's not like the Levitical priesthood, which had Aaron as the high priest, and it was bound by limitations. Everything was wrapped up in animal sacrifice. It's not like the priestly ministry that you get today. The high priestly ministry of Jesus, and actually pastors again been touching on it, is summed up in one word, which we see consistently through the book of Hebrews, and that's the word better. And just to, I hope he doesn't mind me doing this, but just to correct something that Pastor said this morning, better is not better than best. We've got to get the English grammar right. It's good, better, best is the best. Just, I hope he doesn't mind me correcting his English grammar, but that's, so better is not better than best. Best is the best. And the high priestly ministry of Jesus can be described as the best. Yes, it's summed up, you see it through Hebrews, you see it consistently, this word better. And this is what we're going to be looking at over these series of studies that I'm running. Because in the book of Hebrews you see at least 12 times this word better. And I think I said yesterday, last time, I likened it to the weather. And I've not heard anything this week where it's going to be better than it was, but certainly in the scriptures there are 12 occurrences of this word better in the book, and that appears more than any other book in the Bible. So 12 times in the book of Hebrews this word better, and it's in connection with the priestly ministry of Jesus. And we were comparing the differences last time between Aaron and Jesus. Today we're going to look at the better ministry, or the greatness of the ministry of Melchizedek. And Pastor touched on that just a moment ago. But we see through the scriptures, and this is the focus of the teaching from Hebrews 7, that it's under a better order. The high priestly ministry is under a better order. The order that Aaron was under was limited. It could only satisfy for a season. There was no eternal redemption under the Aaronic priesthood. Animals had to be slain daily. And yearly, the high priest, Aaron, would go into the temple, or into the tabernacle. Later on, it was the temple when that was built, after Solomon. They'd go into the most holy place with the blood of the animal, the blood of the sacrifice, and atonement would be made. And that was repeated year after year. Now, thank God, the ministry of Jesus is much better. It's under a better order. It's not a repetitious sacrifice. Jesus died once for all. We don't crucify the Lord every week when we come to the Lord's table. He died once, and that's sufficient. What we are doing, we're just commemorating and remembering that once for all sacrifice. Then we see in chapter 8 of Hebrews that the ministry of Jesus is under a better covenant because he died. You know, that was the ratification of the New Testament, the New Covenant. It's a better covenant than the Old Covenant. Jesus didn't come away, and we're going to look at a little of this morning. He didn't come away to do away with the Old, but he came to fulfill it under the New Covenant. In chapter 9 we read that the ministry of Jesus is in a better sanctuary. It's not in a tent, it's not in a building, it's in heaven itself. It's in the most holy place. The better sanctuary. And it's all based, as chapter 10 tells us, on a better sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus himself. So last time we were introducing this ministry of Melchizedek. And as pastors already read to us this morning from Genesis, Melchizedek was king of Salem. That's translated king of righteousness and king of peace. The scripture tells us, let's go to Hebrews 7. Let's just look at this. Verse 1. Hebrews 7 verse 1. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, this is what Pastor was reading to us just a minute ago, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. And then verse 4 says, now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. So Pastor, in his basically in his introduction, as we were coming to the tithes, he mentioned this, that Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth, a tithe. And the Bible tells us, and the writer to the Hebrews here is telling us, to consider how great this man was. We don't know a lot about him. The scripture doesn't give us great insight. We know much more about Abraham than we do about Melchizedek. But we're told to consider how great he was. Because if we can understand the greatness of Melchizedek, it will help us when we come to look at the ministry of Jesus as great high priest. Now, if you remember last time I told you the Jews and the people of God, they looked up to, they honored Abraham. He was their father. It's been touched on again, the father of their faith, the father of their worship, and their religion that they had. They made reference to Abraham frequently. In actual fact, if Chica, can you give me, or Gerald, can you give me John chapter 8? Sorry, I didn't give you that scripture, but if you could just go there for me. John chapter 8, verse 33. You know, in their discussions with Jesus, Jesus made reference to Abraham, and they made reference to Abraham as well. And in John 8, we're going to get it on the screen for you so you can see it. Verse 33. Here the religious leaders, those that are the Pharisees, the scribes, and those that are around him, answered Jesus and said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say then, you will be made free? You know, this follows on from verse 32, which says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How can you say we're in bondage? We're Abraham's children. They looked to Abraham, they honored Abraham, they respected him, they revered him. He was their father. How can you say you'll be made free when we've never been in bondage to anyone? We are Abraham's descendants. If we just come down a little bit to verse 39, that they said again to Jesus, and this is, they're just continuing with this conversation. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus then said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You would be like him. If you were his, if he was your father, you would be like him. The children are like their father. That's the proverb, like father, like son. You know, children copy their parents. And it's particularly if they're good, they will want to be like the role model that they have. So here Jesus says, look, he says, if Abraham was your father, if he was truly your father, that would affect you. You would do the things that he did. If we come down to verse 53, they ask another question of Jesus. They said, are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? Still, they are making reference to Abraham. They are honoring Abraham. They're looking back to Abraham. He said, he was the greatest. He was our great prophet, our great patriarch, our great son. Are you greater than him? The prophets are dead. So who are you making yourself out to be? You know, they want to know who Jesus is. And then, last of all, if we can go to verse 56, just bring it onto the screen. Jesus said to them, look, he says, and he said, your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? Then Jesus really got him. He really stuck it to him, didn't he? He said, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. You know, they didn't like that. They took up stones to stone him. But the Jews honored this patriarch. He was their great father. In just the same way as they looked up to Abraham, they honored Aaron, the high priest, as well. Again, I'm just going to take you to a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament. And sorry, Gerald, I didn't give you these either. This is Exodus 32 and verse 1. Exodus 32 verse 1. Aaron was... he was the spokesperson. If you know what happened, when God called Moses to go into Egypt, and God said to Moses, I want you to go and bring my people out, Moses made every excuse possible not to go. And one of the excuses he made is, he said, I'm not a preacher. I can't talk. I've got to stammer. I've got to stutter. And he says, send somebody else. And then God said, well, take Aaron, your brother. Take your brother with you, because he can speak. And he was the spokesperson. He's the one that did all of the speaking to Pharaoh. He's the one that, now it was Moses told him what to say, but Aaron spoke to Pharaoh. He was the representative of God. And he was the one that, as part of the worship in... Their worship of God, they looked up to him. Now, remember I said this worship was all based on sacrifice, and that sacrifice had limitations. But here we see what happens in the book of Exodus 32. Moses is up to the mountain receiving the commandments and the law from God. And the people go to Aaron. They are fed up with him. They don't know where he is. They want someone to worship. They want God, a God to worship. So they go to, in effect, the high priest. I don't know whether he's high priest in title at the moment at this point. But they go to the one who they respected. The one who stood up to Pharaoh. The one who was the spokesperson on behalf of God. And they said, come make us gods. that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. Now, I'm convinced Aaron didn't immediately agree to their demands, because he was the spokesperson for God. But we've got this congregation there. I'm sure this was a repeated, a repetitive, a continual, like the dripping tap, you know, that annoying, repetitive request and demand that they made. And in the end, I can just imagine Aaron just throwing his hands in there and saying, okay, I'll do it. But they came because they respected Aaron. Moses would have never have conceded to that. But because of who Aaron was, and they thought they would get him. But they looked up to this man. If we go to the book of Leviticus chapter 9. I'm doing a lot of groundwork here to get onto my subject this morning. I do apologize, but we need to do the groundwork first. In Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22. Again, a book a lot of people skip and they don't read. We see here, again, it's talking about Aaron. This is the consecration of Aaron and his sons into the priesthood. It says, then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. So here the people are seeing the Aaron and Moses together in this role as the priests. And it says, then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. God set his mark on Aaron. The glory of God came down. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. You know, here God set Aaron apart. This is my priesthood. This is the one who's going to mediate for you. So they looked up to Aaron. So we've got Abraham, a man they revere, a man they respect and honor. Aaron, the high priest, exactly the same. But something else we see with the Jews, and it's all connected to do with the ministry of Melchizedek, is that they were very strict on the law. They were sticklers for it. It was God's covenant with them. They observed it even down to the last letter. And we have an instance where Jesus rebuked them, not for keeping the law, but because they made such a thing about the law, a song and dance. That's a, thank you, Ruth. That's a good expression. they made such a song and dance about the law. It had to be right that they neglected the important parts of God's law. Let's go to Matthew 23. And let's read what Jesus said to them. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, he calls them. He says, you pay tithes of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So here, he says, you make such a fuss about all. He says, you're making sure everybody tithes even the smallest of the herbs and the spices. Making sure there's a, even the, now actually cumin, I love cumin. I love this lovely fragrant spice. And, you know, when I'm taking the seeds out, of the pot when we're cooking at home. You know, such small seeds, these cumin seeds. And they say, look, you tithe even right down to these small seeds and make sure you give one tenth. He says, but the weightier things, the important things like justice, mercy, faith, just, you've neglected them, you've put them aside. On another occasion, Jesus told the Pharisees that they neglected the commandment of God in order to maintain their traditions and their rituals and things that they did. They've neglected the things that they didn't ought to have neglected in order to build up and big up things which are less important. And Jesus again, when he was talking to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he made reference to this type of tradition. He says in Matthew 5:17, he says, don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And then he made this statement, he says, assuredly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. You know, they were so strict on the law that they made sure that just the jot was the smallest letter, like almost like a little dot on the page. The tittle, they say, were the points of the letters that the strokes when they were writing it. So they say even the smallest letter or even the tiniest stroke on the page will all come to pass. He says nothing is going to fail. He says that's how strict they were, and he's just making sure they knew that, yeah, even the tiniest part, the very smallest part, the bit that they were sticklers for, would all come to pass. But this chapter, was back into chapter 7 of Hebrews, and let's get into some of the teaching, because I see time's going to run out on me. In Hebrews 7, this chapter deals with Melchizedek. And it shows us the greatness of the ministry of Melchizedek. Why? Because verses 4 to 10 tell us that he is greater than Abraham. We read then in verses 11 to 14 that he's greater than Aaron. And then verses 11 to 19, he's greater than the law. So all these things that they upheld and honored, the writer to the Hebrews is telling us that the ministry of Melchizedek is greater, and we're going to see that the ministry of Jesus is better still. So Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. We read that earlier on, Pastor read it, and we read it in the first part of this chapter 7. Now under the law, it was the priests that received the tithes. The priests, the Levites, those involved in the work of God, they received the tithes. Here, a man whom Abraham has never met, but he recognizes him as the high priest. He gives, now this is pre-law. This isn't under the law. This is before the law was introduced. Abraham gives this man, this stranger, the tithe. And don't forget, he is the father of all nations, giving this Melchizedek the tithe. Melchizedek then blessed Abraham. And verse 7 of chapter 7, Hebrews 7, verse 7 says this: now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. So better, Melchizedek was better. He blessed the great Abraham, the one who they looked up to. Jesus is our high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We read that again. If you want the scripture to write it down, I'm not going to turn to it, but I'll give you Hebrews 5 verse 6. You can look there. It says, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, our great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Now, he brings God's blessing to us. He is the blesser, if for want of a better word. And he receives tithes from us. We don't give our tithes. Now, we might bring them into the church, but we're not giving them to the church. We are giving to the Lord, as unto the Lord, to the Lord himself. Now, he's not going to take it and hoover it up into heaven when we give it to him. Not like the man who one day was challenged to tithe and give his offering to God, and he took his, then he used to get the money in a pay packet, not today, it tends to be checks now, or direct into the bank, but he used to get a wage packet, which, and this was quite a thick wage packet, this particular one, he'd been blessed, he'd got a bonus, and the pastor encouraged him to tithe, so he took his wages, and he says, okay, he says, I will tithe it, he says, and he threw it up in the air. And he says, Lord, he says, you keep what you want. He says, and the rest will be for me. He would have been surprised if nothing came down. But no, that's not the way we tithe. We don't just throw it up into the... Well, we give it into a church. We give it to our churches, the groups that we're involved with. And God uses it to reach out to others. But we're giving it to God. We're not giving it to a man or to a group. But he receives our tithe from us. And there's when we give to God, it sets in motion the royal law that what we give will be given back to us. The law of sowing and reaping. Now, whatever your viewpoints are on that, it is a scriptural principle. That what we give. Now, you cannot outgive God. Whatever you give to God, God will see that you don't go short. I remember a man that came to visit us many years ago when I think Jane and I had not recently been long married or just been together. And he was a preacher that came through and he was in our church. And we used to get a lot of them. They used to stop with us. Dad was pastor and we had a place, so they stopped with us in the house. And we used to get to chat with a lot of them. And we sat down one evening over supper. We were chatting after the meeting. And he was in his past life, before he was saved, he was a criminal. He spent most of his life in prison. If I forget his name, was it Ron Sims? Ron Sims. I don't know if any of you have read his story or know of him. But he sat down, we were chatting, and he said this to us over the table. He was actually talking to me. And he said, but Peter, he says, just know this. He says, you can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. Never forgotten those words. You know, what we give to him, God sees that we don't go short. I don't know how God does it, but it's a miracle. It's the way he works. That when we give, when we release the tithe to him, he stretches everything else that you have in order to meet the needs. I've been short of cash. Really short of cash. There are times, and I used to pray this quite frequently. I struggle to think how on earth I could be in this position. But I used to pray, oh Lord, just if I got something to give. Because I didn't have anything to give to God. But I gave little bits, very little bits, and it was very little. And I prayed that, Lord, every time I gave the very little, Lord, if I could just have some, so I could give to you. And when I meant give, I meant give substantially to the Lord. And we were so short of money, but you know, we never, ever went without. Even though we gave very little, but we gave. Like the widow's mite almost, the little we was giving was, percentage-wise, was a lot. Now, we probably don't deal with percentages, really. God doesn't deal with percentages. But as we gave, we honoured God. We found God blessed and made sure that we lived and survived. Even more recently, many of you don't, perhaps not all fully aware of our testimony since arriving in Malta, or when we first came to Malta, and I'll leave that for another occasion, but because I see time's running out on me. But we proved that when we give to God, God sees that we don't go short. We never go without. We can never outgive God. Why? Because he is high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And when we bring our offerings, our tithes to him, our gift to him, he ministers the blessing to us. The lesser is blessed by the better. Going on in this chapter, we see that Melchizedek's ministry of Melchizedek is greater than the ministry of Aaron. Verse 11 to 14. Again, for the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to read the scriptures, but just make a note of them and read them yourself. But we see here that the Aaronic order was only a type of Christ's work on earth. It was all to do with sacrifice, the shedding of blood, atonement, reconciliation, the ministry of the high priest, and the priestly ministry in the Old Testament was about all these things, the sacrifice of animals. And what it was showing was that it was only in place. It was a shadow of the better order that was to come. Because there was coming a Passover lamb. That Passover lamb would be shed. His blood would be shed. And we know that to be our Lord and Savior. He was the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. And he took sacrificial place on the cross. I touched on it already. Aaron could only enter into the holy place once a year, and then he had to go in with blood. And he could only stay in God's presence for a very short time. Then he couldn't outstay his welcome. I was going to say outstay his welcome. But he used to go in with the blood sacrifice of the animal. And it was a very short time in the presence of God. He offered the blood. When the blood was accepted, he withdrew from the presence of God. But we have a great high priest. And the higher priestly order was necessary to open up that way for us. And we read, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Because we read at the end of chapter 4 in Hebrews, verse 14, that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us therefore hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, we've got a high priest who's passed through the heavens already. The way is open. The temple veil has been torn into. There's access into the throne room. And we can come boldly, as the writer here puts it, to the throne of grace. We can obtain mercy. We can find grace to help in time of need. And something else. We don't have to leave. We can stay in the presence of God. We can stay in the throne room of God. We're not time limited. We don't have, it's not like an appointment we have to keep. And we've got to get out because the next one's coming in. I like appointments. Because you know you're going to get the, to sit and see the person that you're trying to see. When it comes to the Lord Jesus, we don't need an appointment. We don't need to book him up. We don't need to check his diary to make sure he's free. He's never running late. Amen. He's always there for us. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, as I said, the Aaronic priesthood, they were only priests, men with limited ministrations, Melchizedek was priest and king, and Jesus is greater than Melchizedek.
Amen.
Lastly, we'll finish with this morning. Jesus is greater, or Melchizedek is greater than the law. In the book of Galatians, we read that the law was only given because the people of God couldn't keep the standard that God required. But the law then was only given until the seed should come. It says it in Galatians 3 verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now the seed in that verse is capital S. The seed, Jesus. He is the seed. And the law was only given till Jesus came. Why? Because Jesus came not to, he didn't do away with the law, but it was fulfilled in Jesus. And now we have the new covenant, the new law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now the law of life are two opposites. Under Aaron's ministry, the law, if you didn't keep the law, you died. The soul that sins shall surely die. That was the law. But in the new covenant, it's life. The law has been replaced with life. Now, it doesn't mean we can break the law, because the law is still there, still needs to be kept. We can't go out and sin and steal and kill and commit adultery and break the because why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Yes, it's made us free from the law of sin and death, but because we're keeping the law of life, we want to keep the law as well. And we see Melchizedek was greater than the law. Amen. Jesus is greater than Melchizedek. It's a better order of ministry. Now, as I continue with this, next time, we're going to see that it's based on the better covenant, the new covenant. So for now, I'm going to leave it there. Because time has gone and we need to close the service. And then we're going to have some refreshments. Amen.